Hello, everybody. Welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm the things we do for love.
And Welcome to the show. Yes, awkward moment of the episode was pretty early with Bran, who has been pretty emotionless, like Hayden Christensen level emotionless, but he had a good zinger to start the episode.
The things we do for love.
But that's just something about Hayden Christensen, though. I would say he's too emotional in some movies, and then other movies, you're like, who is this guy? You know? It's like Shattered Glass, if you ever watched that movie, he's like basically about to cry in every scene. Like,
you know, I was thinking, as I was watching this, I watched it twice, I'm thinking, you know, Bran makes his little snide comment. I'm like, you know, if I was Jamie, I said, look, I don't push you out the window. You're probably dead like all the other Stark boys. So shut up. Just shut up.
Wow.
I mean, Bran did admit.
Go ahead.
He is. Well, I don't know about. He did. Bran did admit, though, that without him pushing out the window, none of this would have occurred. So it's all meant to be.
Because they all died.
They all died. Right?
I mean, Jon Snow.
Jon Snow's not Ned's son.
Yeah, well, he's
not
a
biological
Stark.
Son.
Well, yeah, Bran's the only living son.
And Jon Snow died. So.
But he's not Bran anymore anyway. He's the three-eyed raven. I mean, Arya and Sansa are the only true... I mean, I know it's not male heir, but...
I'm just saying that would have been a good comeback for Jaime.
Well, Jack, next time...
He's just about to be killed. Let's just go ahead and just pour some more gasoline on the fire and see what happens.
I had a nitpick on that one, too. It's like, okay, you got all the White Walkers coming. Why are we having this hearing for Jaime?
It's just part of the show. Plus, we didn't know exactly when the White Walkers were coming yet.
They knew they were on their way.
Tormund hadn't come in yet. So, I mean, there's still time. There's still time for some decorum.
I definitely have some nitpicks about that. Sure.
It was a great scene. Don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking the whole time, I go, okay, Jaime. Yeah, let's just move on.
Well, I mean, all things considered, yes, everyone's doom is coming. But there is, and even then, you have to give Daenerys some leeway to be like, okay, this person that killed her father basically ended the Targaryen reign, or at least put it into, you know.
That was one of the guys I fully expected Jaime to actually finally tell, of all places, right then and there, that was the place to do it, to tell actually what really happened, you know. And he didn't, because that's why he killed the Mad King, is because you've seen it already, like with Cersei, like how much wildfire was in King's Landing. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to completely burn King's Landing. Like, that's what he was saying, was burn them all. Like, he just wanted to just level the whole city. And that's why he killed him, was to save all the people in King's Landing. So it was like, why wouldn't you just say that? That's why I killed him.
Because Jaime doesn't talk about himself unless he's provoked.
or I mean, you know, Daenerys could easily say, oh, it's like, of course you would come with some reason, you know. It wasn't until, you know, now Sir Brianna Tarth kind of came to his defense that, you know, the tides kind of turned in the trial of Jaime Lannister.
Right.
I agree. Concur.
Well, we had kind of the penultimate... to the it's Battle of Winterfell, is that the official name?
That's probably Sunday, what it would be. I don't know if they've announced
it. And Winterfell's a dump. I think I'd just let them have it.
Oh, yeah. When it is the smallest of all the capitals. It's nothing special. You're in the middle of a barren snow land.
It's dingy. It's I don't know.
But I did want to talk briefly about, since you said, you know, the Battle of Winterfell being the next episode title, the episode title for this one was called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh.
And it's really a nice little homage to...
Why'd they call it that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why they call it. It's an homage to the novellas, the prequels to... sort of not prequels, but like the little stories before Game of Thrones that feature Sir Duncan the Tall, which is Brienne's grandfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And
this is why we have
it. And that's also, you know, because there was just three novellas released so far about Aegon V, also known as Egg, and Sir Duncan the Tall, who was not Sir Duncan the Tall, just Duncan the Tall then. And when they were condensed into one book, it's called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So it's kind of a neat little thing. Shout out to people who have read these little stories, which I highly recommend.
Well, there you go. Well, we have a lot to dig into. Not a lot of action, but a lot of character. I could say character development, or just kind of continuing those stories along. Kind of like their last hurrah before we assume a good deal of these people are not going to make it through the next episode. So it was nice to kind of get to spend time with everybody that was there at Winterfell. And we'll be digging into that during our recap today. Nick is coming to us from Baker, Nevada, using hotel internet. So, Nick, the Nickernet legacy continues for you.
Yes. So far, it's doing pretty well.
Yeah, hopefully. You sound good. You sound better than Jack.
But if anyone out there in the map, I'm next to Great Basin National Park in the middle of nowhere in Nevada. So.
And Jack, as always, is coming from his echo chamber with a very big goldfish behind him. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and the goldfish is staring at me.
Those were talking about it.
Well, he just every time I walk by, he thinks he has to eat.
Mm-hmm. What else has he got to do?
Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of large animals, we also had a ghost sighting, so he is around. Don't worry, everybody.
And there was already a petition out there saying if ghost does not show up, I was like, geez.
But before we get into our recap and our Nick picks, and do we have anything for what happens in the book stays in the book?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you want to break it down, but there are two book things that we can talk about. So,
well, let's save it for that segment. We also have some listener feedback to get into as well.
Woo-hoo!
With some phone calls.
Excellent.
So, a chock full episode of Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. Before we get into any of that, though, we want to thank the people that make this show possible. Our patrons, especially Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Plan, the Drake, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. And thank you to all of our patrons. Without you all, these shows would not be possible. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/jandjack today. That's patreon.com/jandjack. We do special bonus episodes for patrons that give $5 or more a month. We do special live streams for patrons that give $15 or more a month. There will more than likely be a live stream of one of our recorded episodes of Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick this season. And it's a short season, so yeah, exactly. It's within the next month, should be fun. So check it out. Any contribution made to our Patreon page is what funds all of the podcasts on the Jay and Jack Network. All right. Without any further ado, let's jump into this episode. We kind of already talked about the opening scene with Jamie. Coming there without the army that Cersei has promised.
Yeah,
that was kind of a pisser.
Well, this is my thought when I watched it the second time. Why didn't at that point just say, "All right, we're just going to march towards King's Landing and have the dead follow us"?
Well, it's a lot of land to cover, and think about how many people. Yeah, it's like how many people even in the north haven't come to Winterfell. So, how many more people would the Army of the Dead gain by letting them march all the way south?
That's true. To me, Cersei's in the best position here because, you know, say they even beat the dead, you know, how Cersei has all that army down there. I mean, she's in a much more advantageous position, and I'm kind of with Daenerys being ticked off here.
You gave me an idea. Instead of the whole army going that way, just take a few people and Bran, right?
Oh, that's true.
Just take Bran to King's Landing. They veer off. They go, where's Bran? They go, and then Cersei's like, uh-oh.
or maybe this is how it happens. I mean, this is just wild conjecture. If Jack still gave a crap about crackpot theories, this might have been a good one. But what if Bran You know, they kill the Night King, and he ends up making Jon the Night King. So then he makes a whole army of the dead, but they're like a good army of the dead, and that's how they take out Cersei. A little too fan fiction.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
But I just don't see, you know, without Cersei, she's evil, but I think she played the right hand here. I mean, she just gets to let them all die. And then she either has to face the army of the dead like she would have anyway, or there's a much more hobbled Daenerys force that's going to try and take her off the farm.
Dany still has two dragons, though.
Well, if they make
now
it through
she
the battle.
Yeah, now she does. And, but, you know, I mean, Cersei still has that huge crossbow that she had developed to take down dragons, which we haven't seen used yet, have we?
Just once in the last season, remember?
That's right, it did. Yeah, Bronn was going to shoot it, yeah.
But Bran stands up for Jaime. He gets to stick around, and Daenerys just kind of storms off. And, not much more there.
She's a bit of a powder.
Well, I think even then, you know, Jaime kind of mentions later, like, okay, is she different, though?
Yeah, I don't think she is. I think she just has one thing on her mind, and that's the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
Oh, Dany? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she is becoming slightly more and more, I don't know.
Evil?
I don't want to say evil. I don't want to say that, but maybe...
Mad?
Yeah. A little
power
bit more.
Power corrupts, right?
It does.
And it's in her blood.
I know. But it's in, Aegon Targaryen's blood, and he seems to be a pretty noble individual, right?
Well, also, he was raised differently, though, too.
He was raised by, an honorable man.
Yep. But here's maybe what he could have said to, like, defuse the whole telling Dany situation, which closed out the episode. Maybe he could have been like, well, I already died, so technically that means, like, you jumped up, and then I came back to life, so, like...
so relax!
I think you're good?
Well, look, she's gonna kill Sam. She can kill Sam, Bronn, and,
Just Sam and Bran.
Sam and Bran, and there's someone else that she had to kill. Oh, Jon Snow.
Well, we assume Jon Snow's gonna die, right? We think he's, like, the Moses of the situation. We don't think he's gonna make it.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, you think he's going to get killed now?
I think he's already dead.
Well,
and it's one of those things that once the magic leaves, or I mean, who knows? He might live, he might not. But I think it's the same. Like the Lord of Light's keeping him alive right now, and once his purpose is fulfilled, what's going to happen?
Is anyone more upset with Dany the fact that she was cared more about the Iron when she found out the news that she was no longer the rightful heir to the Iron Throne? Or that she just had sex with her nephew.
Colin and I kind of brought the same thing.
I was like going, there's other things here to talk about.
In the scheme of things, the Targaryens, right, and Nick, you can kind of back this up, they kind of try to prefer to keep it in the family, right?
They do. They keep it all in the family. Yep.
So, okay. All right.
Which is the saying is that, you know, whenever the Targaryens have a child, that the gods flip a coin to see if it's going to be crazy or not. It's because they're just so inbred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, there's a few situations where they might marry another distant line of the Targaryens, but it's still in the family.
Mm. In the family.
Gotta keep that blood pure. So let's run through some of the different conversations and scenes throughout this episode. It was mainly just set up, but I felt... It was an enjoyable setup episode with a lot of fun moments.
I disagree with the setup. I mean, it was setting up the battle, and I think they did it. I think what they did was a great job. I was stressing out. Okay, you know, who's going to die? Who's not going to die? I think they were just letting the fans say goodbye to whoever was going to die.
Yeah,
because so many are going to die. Rumor is so many are going to die that. You know, you can't. It's not like the Red Wedding where we had no idea that was coming.
Yeah, we had no chance.
Well,
unless you read
the books.
Yeah.
But I was like, what? So this one we know some of the major characters are going to die. I think this episode was more of just telling us.
Well, it's
us,
not that necessarily that we know, we just assume, right? Yeah. You're going into this battle against the most, you know, insane force the Seven Kingdoms has ever seen. So we assume we're probably going to lose some of our favorites.
Well, because that's how they were, you know, Tyrion was saying the same thing, you know, we're all going to die, you know, we're going to die. They were all saying we're going to die.
What if it's one big gotcha and, like, everybody lives except for, I don't know, who would be the funniest one to die?
I think Sam's a goner. I think Sam's
really?
Done.
Really?
And I don't know why. I think Sam's done.
I don't think Sam's going to die. Because I think Sam is the one who's writing this story.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah. It makes total sense because most of the books are written by a maester. And that's what he's studying to be. So this will be A Song of Ice and Fire written by Maester Tarly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes total sense.
Well, there's one other scene.
I don't want him to die. I hope I'm wrong. But it just seemed like they were painting him as he was going to die.
Well, there's one other scene in this episode that also kind of smacked of Lord of the Rings. It was the song, it starts with a J.
Right.
Was it Jordan?
Jenny of Stones. Where am I forgetting it?
Well, it's the squire sang the song. What's his name again? I forget his name.
Podrick,
of course. And it reminded me of Pip's song, and I think it's in Return of the King, right? Where he's like singing and the battle's going on. It was very similar to that. I don't know, if Nick, if you felt the same way.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it didn't hit me just then because, you know, that one, they're actually looking at their doom. Whereas in this one was just them getting drunk around the hall.
That's true. All right, let's try to go through these, maybe not in any particular order, because I know, Nick, you had to frantically go through your notes. But we had basically Tyrion somewhat on the outs. Daenerys, I think maybe rightfully so, is second-guessing her choice's hand. But he ends up keeping it because somebody backed him up that maybe you wouldn't expect to back him up.
You be talking about Majora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. This was one of the few. I liked this episode more than the last episode. But yeah, I like to see her. See, I like that he makes a case to Danny of why Tyrion is a good choice. You know, that he owns his mistakes, and not only does he do that, he learns from them. And then even recommends, like, you should talk to someone else. So, I mean, it's almost like there's two hands of the queen now.
She has multiple advisors, right? Because you also have, I'm blanking on all the names today, the eunuch.
Yeah, this was, Varys. That was actually one of my issues with the episode, is that you've got a lot of characters now in one location that are advisors. And because there's so many, a lot of them kind of took the back, you know, fourth or fifth wheel in this episode, because there's like, well, we can't write enough stuff for Varys, or we can't write enough stuff for Davos. It's like, Davos, now you're going to be the Red Cross soup aide.
You know, but I was remembering what you said last week about the gold, and when they mentioned, when Jamie said they have the gold and like that, I wanted them to see if they would pan to Varys, and they didn't.
All right,
just to see some kind of expression or just something like that, but because remember
the gold,
the gold company that
the gold, okay, the gold company, yes,
gold company where you think he has control of it.
Yeah, right? I think he will have some sway over them. I think that would be a great thing to happen.
But I looked during that scene that he was there. But they didn't show him like a little.
So you're saying, Jackson, they didn't show Varys there?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I said I was hoping they would show that so it would kind of support Nick's theory. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, too, I know we bashed Dany in the beginning. I would have been upset with Tyrion, too.
Of course.
I mean, she had every right to be upset with him in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, but I really like the scene with Jorah. I thought it was nice. It was cool for him to stand up for Tyrion. And
Khaleesi.
And he also gave her the good advice of talking to Sansa, even though it didn't end well. It was a nice scene between the two, right?
It was going good for a while.
So whose side are you all on in this situation? Are you with Sansa or are you with Daenerys?
I'm with Sansa.
How about you, Nick?
This is one of my nitpicks.
Okay.
About, I don't like what they're doing with Sansa. I didn't like it last episode. I don't like it with this episode because it seems like the writers are just trying to pit Sansa against Dany no matter what the situation is. And you can see it in that first scene there where at first they're kind of agreeing, like, yes, we can't trust the Kingslayer, you know, Jaime. And as soon as Brienne pops up, then Sansa just switches her mind. Like, no big deal. Okay, I switched my mind.
But that's true. But that's true to the story, though.
But you can see it, though, in Dany's face, though. Like, she's, like, shocked that all of a sudden Sansa just switched. But then a few scenes later, you see Sansa, when Dany, from Jorah's advice, goes to speak to Sansa, she goes, is this over Jon? And Sansa's kind of like, yeah, a little bit. She goes, because men can't be trusted, because when they're in love, they do stupid things. But at the same time, you just changed your mind in a split second when Brienne's making girly eyes at Jaime the whole time. So, because she's doing that because she loves Jaime.
But what Brienne said was not
true. It's true.
It was true. So what she was saying, and Sansa has complete faith in Brienne. Brienne. So yeah. This, to me, I won't pick it apart because it's true to the story. I mean, I agree. I think Brienne is in love with
that. Her kind of oscillating, kind of like, yeah, no, yeah, that was a little.
Well, because at first she's, you attacked my dad, and then he spoke up and said, we were at war. I would do the same thing again. And that's when Brienne spoke up and said, look, and Jaime has been nothing but, he's a man of his of all the things. He is a man of his word.
Yeah. But then I'm just making the case against with Sansa, like how they're doing the character kind of strangely, and that she's very indecisive or paranoid, because you also in that same scene with Dany and her alone in the previous episode, Sansa had said, "Yeah, I thought you were the smartest person in the world. Now you're just an idiot." But then she defends Tyrion to Dany, So it's just kind of like, well, do you think Tyrion's smart? Or do you think he's an idiot?
Well, I think that's
a wake up call to Tyrion, though.
Yeah,
I
think Sansa was right to tell Tyrion that, but I think she also cares about Tyrion. So I think it's fine to be able to to play both. It's not as jarring to me, but Nick, you are entitled to your picks, and that's why they call me picks.
I disagree with Nick.
Okay, cool.
Well, they seem to get chummy, but then the hand is removed from Sansa's. When she says, yeah, but what about after? Okay, we finally got free and we're the, our own kingdom up here.
You can't have six.
Well, here's the thing. okay, why can't you just say, okay, you guys just, we'll have an alliance, but you get to be independent in the north, right? Or is that just not, and Nick, you know more about the history here, is that just not feasible for the Seven Kingdoms, or is just Dany being stubborn?
Well, the thing is, the North was it's basically the same size as all the other six kingdoms combined. It's its own thing, and they don't share the same religion. They don't share the same customs. There are their own things. Same as like Dorne. Like Dorne is its own thing.
They don't like anybody outside of their territory.
Right, and like I said, they just have been independent now for the last 2-3 years, and they've never really even when the Targaryens were in control, the North kind of was left to its own thing because it's just too far for the Targaryens to go up there and patrol. So that's what I mean. It's like we don't really – the only thing that kept the kingdoms together was dragons.
Yeah.
And so that's why they splintered off so easily after the Targaryens fell. Mm-hmm. But I kind of agree. I think that the North should remain independent. They've earned it.
So you agree with Sansa?
I agree with Sansa in that they should be independent, but I disagree that why did she have to bring it up right then? It's like there's plenty of other stuff to do.
They're all agree with you. I think that should have been brought up afterward. They don't even know if they're going to survive.
Yeah, exactly. But, I think you could play politics a little bit better, better.
But I think it's setting up to show that Dany is ruthless, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, We've seen it, but I think that's what they were going for.
Is that a satisfying end for that character though? If she's just going to turn mad, like, you know, her father, would we call that lazy writing, or is that something that you could think honestly would happen in the book?
I don't know if she's going mad. She's power hungry, but that doesn't make her crazy. It just makes her. I mean, she wants something. That's all she's been talking about since end of season one, right? Or beginning of season two.
Well, Nick, you have the perspective of the book here. Like, is this a turn that we're seeing in the books as well, or is this just something we're seeing in the show?
The books, though, she's still in Essos in the books, and it's basically ended when John got stabbed at the wall. So the show is way ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the writers of the show just know how it's supposed to end. So everything from last season and this season is just kind of whatever they want it to be. I mean, they're following some very broad strokes.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think Dani's kind of the more aggressive she's getting, do you think it's in line with somebody that's trying to kind of show that she's strong and can't be, you know, she is the queen and you need to accept her as the queen? Or is it something edging on the Targaryen madness?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, the Aegon the Conqueror, the first Targaryen king, you know, he took the Seven Kingdoms because he could, because he had dragons, and it was like, I want it, I'm taking it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the Targaryen philosophy, is that I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'm doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone to counter them really goes against their natural instincts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, cool.
Jack, are you doing laundry or something?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing over there?
I don't know. It was a pong from somewhere. But
a what?
I have nothing open, but it sounds like a Facebook notification, but I don't have it open.
Well, no, it sounds like you're moving around. And.
Oh, no. I'm just sitting here. I shifted in my chair. I apologize.
Again, Jack records in his bathroom, and that's why it sounds like that. All right.
When you record in your bathroom, sometimes you got to stand up.
One talking point, though. So if John does become king, though, of the Seven Kingdoms, does the North still want its independence? That's the better question.
To me, that's the solution. Even if I was Dany, I'd be like, well, you know, what if I marry your brother? Like, will that, and then we kind of unite our houses or whatever. Is that some type of agreeable solution? That's to me what I would think. But you know, they gotta live first.
Yeah,
or survive, I should say.
I think that's just part of the twist that's going on right now. We don't know who's going to survive. And what's going to happen? It may turn out Sansa is the complete the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
The Game of Thrones. Who's going to sit on the throne?
Exactly.
There's no point in doing it now till after we see what happens after this episode. All right. So going on from here, other big things in this episode, you know, Tormund comes back.
that was a funny scene.
And great comic relief throughout the episode, but says that the army's coming by morning. Also, Jaime has a scene with Bran that's not much there, aside from why Bran didn't out him. I don't think there's anything much more to say about that, though, right?
No. It's another one of those things where I feel the writers are in a bit of a weird crossroad with Bran.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if it's the actor or just them, the way they're writing. Because I think with a lot of people, he's kind of creepy. Yeah. It's either they're trying to make him worldly and to, like, he knows all. And it's same as later when they have the big war council and he talks about, you know, how to defeat the Night's King. But he just feels disconnected, and it kind of bothers me.
Like, is it hard to feel worldly or somewhat ancient when you have peach fuzz under your nose? Is that the problem?
Maybe it's because he doesn't want to be the three. Maybe he doesn't want to be who he is.
Well, I think it's just because he's like I said, I think I said this last season when we talked about it, is that once you've seen the past and you've known everything for the last, what, 7,000 years or whatever, you kind of, your emotions.
I guess it'd be a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes for great TV. can we talk about Arya and Gendry throughout this episode? We kind of were saying there was a little bit of tension last week that we picked up on. And this week, that tension kind of came to a head, so to speak.
Very uncomfortable tension. Yeah.
Well, okay. So
there was a lot of uproar online about this scene.
There was.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, this show started in 2011. I'm not sure what year she was born, probably like 93. So she was just a kid. Right now, yep. She's probably younger than that.
She was 11, I think, for the first season. She's 18 this season, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, she's supposed to be legal, but still, it's just like you don't want to see. It's like, I feel wrong.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, don't go there.
Yeah,
go there. But I guess they're trying, if she can fight, I don't know. It just,
well, to me, I look at it this way: she is an adult. It's kind of like, but it is kind of like having your own children, or you know, somebody that you like took care of as a kid or whatever. Eventually, I mean, they're going to be adults and they're allowed to make adult decisions. It's kind of weird because you know them as a kid. But now they're an adult, so it's just one of those things, you know, I don't blame her, for wanting to experience this before she may die tomorrow. So so I get it. I get why there's uproar, but also kudos to her for, you know, finding her, if she wanted to have sex before she could possibly die, she got it. So good for her.
But I know a lot of people were really wanting this, fans, you know, like, oh, there's, you know, Gendry and Arya should hook up, and, you know, there'd be a happy couple.
What's their ship name? I think it's like, isn't it Gendrya or something like that? There is a ship name for the two of them.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have no idea.
But, you know, I think it works. I think it made sense. I think she was kind of badass about it, which was cool. But I also see where people are like, oh, it's our little Arya. But it's like, well, she's grown up. She can murder people.
But you accepted her as a murderer.
Yeah. What does that say about our society that we accept her as a murderer, but, oh, she wants to have sex?
But it was for revenge when she was killing people.
Sure. Okay, there was also a lot of speculation about, okay, well, she gave Gendry this thing to make, but it didn't look like there was any dimensions or anything on the parchment that she gave. So yeah. What do we think about her weapon that Gendry gave her, which is, you know, a fairly large kind of staff with two.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is. It just looks like a spear, but it's not a spear.
Yeah.
It's like a double-sided, double-sided
careful
staff.
But yeah, from the drawing, but you're right, it didn't have any scale on it. You wonder, because it looked like in the drawing that it was detachable, and this what we saw didn't look like it had anything that was detachable. So I was like, "What was there supposed to be like her Valyrian steel blade on one side and a dragon glass on the other that could be pulled apart? You know, to be like Darth Maul's lightsaber or something?"
She did. She's designed it for a reason.
Yeah. We'll have to
see. There has to be a reason behind it.
Well, I mean, again, to Nick's point, I really thought it would detach, so then you could do kind of this bow staff, you know, twirl it around, like cut a whole bunch of people up at once kind of deal, and then you would, and then like say you want to get more close quarters combat, because eventually it would come to that, you could separate it and then kind of have, you know, a dual wielding weapon of some sort. So, I mean, well, there's more to see though, right? I mean, maybe it does still separate, but it was a little underwhelming, Gendry. Not your best work.
Well, speaking of their earlier scene, though, I thought sometimes the Arya now is a bit wooden character. She's just kind of a stereotypical badass, and I want to have her more dialogue or more emotion.
Well, the Hound commented on that.
Yeah, he did, and he addressed it, which is true. But I liked how Gendry was thinking of her in the last time he knew her, in like season 4, of just being kind of naive and not being able to defend herself, and then she quickly, you know, picks up those darts, you know, and she starts throwing them, hitting them, you know, and then he's like, oh, wow. Like, so she's...
Can I have my weapon? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get right on it. Because, you know, it's just... She's showing him and just without saying anything, like, I'm not the person you thought I was. And so I did like that.
Yeah. We have Theon Greyjoy comes back and very warmly received by Sansa. I know that was something that we talked about. We assume Sansa would, you know, come to Theon's defense or, you know, be supportive of him.
Yeah.
But that kind of seemed to be, and even towards the end during Pod's song, they were sharing a meal together. So
did you see, but did you see Dany's face, though? She goes, no one ever cries and hugs me.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. They have a shared torture history together of... And then, you know, he did save her from him.
Yeah.
From the Boltons. So it makes sense.
Ramsey.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, I thought it was sweet. And then I also thought it was nice. Theon, who's going to, because basically the big plan is to kill the Night's King, which makes sense. And they're going to use Bran as bait. And Theon is going to come to Bran's defense, or at least he's going to be the first people there. So are we assuming Theon's dead? He's dead, right?
I'm assuming Theon's dead, yeah.
Judging on his past performances the last couple seasons, yeah, he's dead man walking.
There's only two characters that I think for sure are going to die next episode. Theon is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more that we'll talk about when Swin brings that person up.
Okay.
I can go ahead and talk about now.
Sure.
So during the homage of like everyone parting before the battle starts and all that,
mm-hmm.
everyone in this episode talks about, well, we're all going to die. At least we're going to die with company, or like, yes, we're dying. You know, but there's only one person that talks about the future. And that's always like, you don't talk about the future. You know, you're going to die. And that is Grey Worm.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Like, you don't talk about the future, Grey Worm. And then, you know, he just kisses her and runs off to his men. You're like, you're so dead.
Yeah.
Well,
the worm is dead.
Because it adds more drama to his death. Because, like, oh, but they were going to go get a beach house and retire.
Yeah. And I was going to defend you forever. But, like, yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, Grey Worm. You're going to die.
That's fair. Another person I can assume is not going to die is the Hound. It was a really fun scene with him and Sansa. I know we talked about, like man, we haven't had the Sansa Greyhound scene, Hound scene yet. And we got it in this episode. I thought it was fun. But we need the Clegane Bowl still.
Wait, we got a Hound Sansa?
Arya. Sorry.
Hound, oh, yeah.
Arya. I watched it twice. I didn't see that.
You're right. Sorry. I'm getting my Stark.
Actually, yeah. Well, the only part of that scene, even though it was very short, the only part of it I really enjoyed was Beric Dondarrion. You know, sitting down and start to give him the preach. You know, he's like, you know, he's the Lord of Light's going to wonder why he brought you back 19 times to only die when I chunk you over this wall. You know, that was. But yeah, Clegane Bowl is definitely going to happen. There's too many people that want it. I want it. It's, you know, because it's his full story arc of getting his revenge for his brother being, you know, so mean and burning his face as a child. It makes total sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Other things here, Jorah kind of getting a Valyrian steel blade from.
Oh, that's, nice. Yeah. Sorry, that's the other person.
Way to work it, Jorah.
I think Jorah's going to die too.
Yeah, because I mean, you have so between him and Lady, I'm blanking, his cousin.
Lyanna.
Yes. They had a great scene. She's going to live, right?
She's too stubborn to die.
Yeah, she's a fan favorite, you know, for the show. She's a minor character in the books, but yeah, I think she'll live for sure. They can't kill a little girl, a little kid. I mean, they've done it already.
Talk about this Game of Thrones.
Yes. Game of Thrones, yeah.
But will she have like a badass fight scene? Like, is she going to take down the whole damn army herself? Because that's what it seems like.
I would run from her. She scares me.
I know.
I think the audience wants that, to see her, like, see what she can do. And that would be pretty cool to see, like, this little badass girl just, like, pull out a sword and just, like, knock down, like, five White Walkers or undead people. It's like, like, all right.
Gilly and Lil Sam seem to be okay. So there they are. what else? Okay, we gotta talk about the fireplace scene, the knighting of Brienne of Tarth. But just I really enjoy the scene. I know it was just kind of just them commiserating, but you had the hilarious Tormund story of why he became Giant Bane.
Let's get into the first one of that first.
Sure.
And that, let's see here.
Sorry. Well, first it's just Jaime and Tyrion.
Davos came in to warm up his fingers. Is that what he came in for?
Aw.
What, too soon?
Yes. Poor guy. He's a good guy. But yeah, so you had Tyrion kind of saying he wishes his dad was here to see.
How funny it is.
Which, you know, James like, really? But, you know, to see that his two sons kind of dying.
Died in protecting Winterfell.
But
that was funny.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like when you're saying, they all arrive, and the Tormund, though, is everyone I think is you have this two conflicting. Like, do you want Brienne to end up with Jaime, or do you want a lot of people that want Tormund to end up with Brienne as well? Because, you know, it's the first thing he asks for is the big woman still here?
Yeah.
But when he gets in the room, he's making like rookie mistakes with flirting, and I didn't understand it. It's like, come on, Tormund, because it's just, you know, it's our last night. We can drink, you know, like it's you know, like, you know, and he's just basically saying, let's go roll around in the hay. And then the man can't drink his own beer or whatever he's mead or whatever he's drinking. He's just going down his beer. It's just disgusting. You're like, you think that's really going to work?
Well, maybe the types of ladies that he's got before, that technique has worked on northern lanes, but
it might have worked. Yeah, it might be his go to move.
But I think Brienne, maybe. She loves Jaime. She's always, at least for a while, she has. So I think if she ends up with anybody, she should end up with Jaime. That's just my.
Or they die in each other's arms.
Sure.
Yeah. But I did like the knighting, because of all the characters, it would be Jaime to say screw tradition. Let's mm-hmm. just go ahead and make you a knight, because probably all gonna be dead anyway, and mm-hmm. it's something you want, and she's earned it.
Yeah,
no, she hasn't. Yeah,
and I mean, arguably, she's the most honorable.
The first time I watched it, there was a. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, she's the most honorable. One of the most honorable people, you know, in this show. Deserving of knighthood, you know.
Well, that's why we go back to where we were talking about Sansa listening to her. Why wouldn't she listen to her?
Yep, exactly.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
But you can see it. I thought the first time I watched it that she even had a tear going down her cheek. You know, saying like, you know, my dream has finally come true to become a knight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was in the second viewing.
Well, her eyes were welling.
She had some water in her eyes.
Okay.
Who didn't have water in their eyes?
Yeah, it was moving. I mean, I thought it was very sweet.
That scene got me a little bit, too.
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful scene.
Nobody cried when Old Yeller died. Come on.
But, I just thought it was fun, them sharing stories. I loved... when Bran was told Paz, like, no, you can't drink, maybe half a drink, and then you have Tyrion just, like, you know, overflow his cup. and just gives him a look. Like, it just, you know, these people, and I think even, maybe Tyrion brought it up, you know, at some point we've all kind of fought against the Starks, and here we are trying to defend Winterfell.
Right.
But it's kind of just cool, all of these seasons and all these characters and crossing paths and, you know, impacting each other's lives, but here they are, you know, at the end of all things, kind of sharing a moment before this great battle. And I just thought it was a really cool, just a fun kind of scene to play out.
I agree.
Nick, as the most cynical of us, you said you liked the Nine part, but just overall, what was your thoughts on just a lot of this kind of shared, or I think even the Hound kind of said, like, what is this, an effing wedding? But it just definitely had that vibe of people all getting.
The Hound was Nick. Hound was speaking for Nick.
But I dug the vibe. But what was your overall thoughts of that, Nick?
I mean, I liked what they were doing with the little segments of just kind of showing where everybody's at and things like that. But my issues with the episode were more dialogue, and that I felt that the writers didn't know how to write certain lines for, like, for Tyrion, for both the first and the second episode. I felt some of the things he said wouldn't be things Tyrion would say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the worst line in the episode is when Jaime and Tyrion are talking, and he says, "They remember the last time, you know, a dragon was brought to the north." And I kind of paused because, like, no, they don't. I was like, that was hundreds of years ago, you know, and even then it was under good terms when the Targaryens ruled.
Well, Nick, the North remembers, okay.
Yeah, but it's just kind of weird. And then I felt they really missed a very good opportunity for a great Tyrion line towards the end of that, they're sort of like, "Well, we should all go to bed." And Tyrion's like, no, let's go. Let's keep drinking, you know? And they're like, "We're out of wine." And then nothing is said after that. It's like, that would have been a perfect spot for Tyrion to say something like, "Well, let's go out. Let's order out for more wine," you know, or something.
I'll be honest with you. I thought that's what he was going to say.
Yeah. And it's just like, what? It's like, you know, Tyrion would totally have some witty line right there to say, like, "Yeah, like, well, I'm going to keep drinking," or, you know, get us something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wanted to hear a song.
Yeah.
Which was good. Play us a song. You're the piano man. Then, but what, so the episode kind of closes out with the reveal to Dany. And we kind of touch on it a little bit. And then, you know, the White Walkers, which that was the most White Walkers I think we've ever seen. There was like 72 White Walkers, not just the Whites, but the White Walkers in succession or in line.
They mean business. They ain't messing around.
They do. But no Night's King. No Night's King. He's going to be on
that. He's on the dragon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, Nick, thoughts on the last scene between Dany and Jon?
Or I guess Aegon. I like the way it was revealed, for sure, because he's looking. I knew that. When the scene opened, that he's got to be looking at his mother.
Yep.
And I liked just the way he explained it, of saying, "This is Lyanna Stark." And she even admitted that she knew who that was.
Mm-hmm.
There is a flaw in the logic, though, of what she's saying, because she says, "Everyone has told me that my brother Rhaegar was so nice." And I kind of want to go, based on who? You know, because the only person you knew is your brother. Mm-hmm. That knew who this person was when he was even a child then. So how would he know? Because in the books, it's Ser Barristan that tells her how her brother was in a lot of detail. And that's how she knows he was a good man. But, you know, he died and he's still alive in the books. So you're like, well, there's a missed opportunity.
Well, so that was we assume it was told by somebody. Like,
yeah, but that's what you wonder. You're like, well, who told you? Because you were always kind of around yes men or people that were just trying to sell you for who you were because you were a Targaryen. I don't know. It's just one of those things I kind of went, okay, a little bit of a, but you can see though that she did buy into the narrative that Robert had always told, that he kidnapped her and he raped her and that's it. And so she believed that about her brother. But I of course you see her reaction to it, and it made me immediately think of Sam and what Sam said to him. Like, would she give up her crown for you? Because you've given up everything for her, and you can see it right there. She's already like against it, of going, well, that makes you the ruler now, and blah blah blah. And so
tries to discredit, you know, Sam and Brandy.
I think it's fair for her to point out, though. I think that is fair.
Yeah,
of course.
I do like when he's telling the story, and he gets to where he had a son, and Robert would have killed it, and she's starting to put two and two together. And then Ned Stark she's like going, wait a minute, hold on a second. So it was starting to click in her head what was going on, too.
Yeah, her facial expression is like the facial pill to swallow. Yeah. I mean, we talked about Sam last week, his facial expressions. Like, I thought hers were really good in this scene.
I think so, too, yeah.
Sure. I mean, her facial expressions were good when she was talking to Sam in the last episode, because you can see it as soon as he says Tarly, she goes, "Not Randall Tarly." Like, oh, fuck, I'm screwed. You know?
Someone else I killed. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He didn't bend the knee. I'm sorry. Pretty simple.
I like barbecue. Sue me.
Extra crispy, just like I like it. We're set up for a big battle next week. I think it's 84 minutes the episode. They added like 20 minutes to the episode or something like that. So...
people said it took 55 days to film this this scene, this whole episode.
And
that's what I've heard.
One of my favorite jokes is because Helm's Deep from the Lord of the Rings books and in the movie is, you know, long considered kind of one of the most epic on-screen battles of all time, and they're saying like this is gonna make Helm's Deep look whatever. But some people are saying like unless you have Gandalf coming in on a white horse, separating right. things, like I don't know how you top it. But you know, what are our thoughts or theories on how, you know, next week is gonna go down? Do we end that episode with either the victory or defeat of the White Walkers and the Night's King, or does that continue?
I think there has to be the defeat at the end
for the Walkers.
The White Walkers are defeated.
Well, I guess there's only what, three more episodes after that. So yeah, is that right. The conclusion of that, or should there be more?
Next episode is them licking their wounds and trying to figure out who's left and
how to get Cersei. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer it not to be the end of the White Walkers in one episode, because you've had so much build for this one moment and you're going to do it all in one episode. I would almost kind of be a little disappointed in it, but you never know. It just depends on how well the episode shot. Because you're right. There's a lot more ground to cover, because you still have to convert Cersei. You still have to decide who's going to rule, what the future of Westeros is going to be. I mean, there's a lot more stuff to cover. And that's what almost makes me worried, because you've seen with the pacing of these two episodes that they might be going a little too fast. Like, I don't want it to be like a lost last couple of seasons where, you know, because they narrowed it down to six episodes, where it's like, why did you do it to six? Like, why didn't you just do 10? And then you could have more story and then really have a good build and more character development. I don't, because like some of the things that my issues, a lot of it with it, are just kind of how they're rushing to get to this end. That worries me.
Yep. No, I could totally see that. And that to me, where like I could, because there's just not a lot of episodes left, so I could see where that kind of ends this White Walker battle, but it's just like this, and I know it's an extra long episode, it's, you know, movie length episode, so, you know, maybe they could get it all in, but I feel like there's so much there, and you're right, like this has been set up since the first episode of the series, and it would be tough if that's all we got, but we don't know what it is yet.
I would think the battle would have to start right away next week.
Sure. Yeah, I think it will, because we basically, this episode, like,
no more
right
singing.
Yeah, no more. Yeah, exactly. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see. It is promised to be epic, and I'm sure it'll live up to that in the least. All right, Nick, why don't we do your nitpicks, and then we'll get to some listener feedback and close out with what happens in the book stays in the book. But before we get into any of that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Here we go. All right, that was a great advertisement, one of the best. Nick. we kind of dug into a couple in our recap, but nitpicks, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean it's me. Anyone out there who's listening to me, they know I always have to complain about something.
It's me.
One of them, because I've already discussed some of them, but like the scene with Brienne and Jaime when she's watching Pod train and she's really proud of him.
Yep.
I was kind of disappointed in this scene too, because Brienne was kind of being prickish, and it's like, you know, you can let your guard down, you know, like Jamie's being real with you. But what bothered me the most about it was that she was given command of a flank, because Brienne has never had any history of leading soldiers in combat. She's not a knight, as we've seen. You know, she's just been in the Rainbow Guard. And then she's done the service for Caitlin and just watching over Sansa and Arya. So it's like, what's going to be your experience actually leading troops? So this to me was a mistake in writing wise to do this. And it makes more sense realistically for Jaime to be in charge of it and she being by his side. And I thought that's where this was going to go, to where they'll just switch the roles, but that didn't happen.
Well, maybe they don't trust him 100%.
But yeah, they don't, because he is a Lannister. But regardless, now that he's under her command, people will still be under Jaime. So what's the big deal? That was just a little bit of an irk. I kind of like, okay.
Well, you know, it took George Washington a few tries to get it right. So
that's true.
Maybe she can learn on the job too.
Wait, when he chopped down the cherry tree?
cherry.
No, not the cherry tree. He didn't do so hot in some of his battles.
It wasn't great in the French and Indian War, and he kind of, you know, his start to the Revolutionary War isn't too great either, but he ended well.
Yeah, so he, you know, finished strong. She could finish strong, you know, she might make some mistakes. Uh-huh. But, you know, but people of the North may not follow. Who's following her? The people from the North? Because they may not follow Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they have to go with Brienne. And I'd follow her. She's a tough fighter.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nitpick. You don't necessarily have to agree with it. He's just giving his nitpicks.
Go with Sam. He's the only one that's... go with Sam. Let Sam lead it. He's killed a White Walker, so...
Uh-huh. All right, Nick, what else you got for us?
Okay, so when Tormund and Beric arrive, the whole... It's just little things of just logic. It's me being logic. So John actually goes, how long do we have? And he's like, before the sun rises. Now, I get it that this was probably just to give some dialogue and to tell the audience, you know, the battle's going to be here tomorrow. But in my mind, it's like, wait a minute, did they not prepare? Did they not have scouts? Did Bran not have little crows flying around to give to keep up where the army's progressing? It's like, you're just leaving it to these guys to show up.
You know, what happened if they didn't show up? You wouldn't even
exactly. That's where it is. It's like, that's a bit silly.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's a good nitpick.
I'll back you up on that one.
Okay.
If anyone says Nick is nitpicking on that one, I will hunt them down.
That's a certified fresh Nick pick. But okay. Nick, I will say there's some great memes about you last week. I think this week's is going to be, I'm logic. I think that's going to be for next week.
You know,
don't give them ideas.
Have you guys noticed on Facebook and Twitter that everyone's saying I'm cute?
After I said that.
And I'm talking, I don't even know if these people listen to it. I mean, I'm just talking about random people. I go, I mean, I don't know if this has been going on for months and I didn't pay attention to it, but all of a sudden now, Nick.
Oh, all the cute memes?
I'm cute.
Well, that's perfect about Nick's line, and then he's now part of the meme lexicon of...
But I maybe, like I said, maybe I just never paid attention to it before, but like, wow. We don't have that many listeners.
If you don't know what we're talking about, on our Facebook, I think it's posted on a lot of our Facebook group, Patreon, or on Facebook group, but facebook.com/group/JandJack group. There's some great memes around Nick's cute comments last week. But anyway, Nick, what other picks do you got?
Okay. During the war council with Bran, when he's talking, now, I get from a show's point of view, it's just easier to say, if we destroy the Night King, then we destroy everything, because it gives everybody just one goal, and it's a simple solution.
Yeah.
But I don't see it going that way in the book. It's just too simple. It's too fantasy.
Yeah.
I didn't like that it seemed to be that there's a history, like some kind of feud between the Three-Eyed Raven and the Night's King, because mm-hmm. there's no evidence of that ever. And also that there's been multiple Three-Eyed Ravens. There's also no support to that either. As far as we know, the one that Bran got his powers from or learned from was the very first one. So that just kind of seemed odd to me that they're setting this up as, you know, these two versus each other, which I thought was weird. And let's see here.
Yeah, but I think I get it. But to your point, it's probably just a simplification of the story to kind of make it easier to kind of digest from a TV show perspective.
I mean, yeah, I did like, though, what they said is that his goal is to destroy history, just destroy human existence, because this would go perfectly in line with what the original goal of the Children of the Forest was. Because the Children of the Forest, when the first men came, and then afterwards, this war started because humans were invading Westeros, which is their land, and destroying all the trees and things like that. So they created the Night's King to wipe out humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like a rogue computer program. He's just fulfilling his original programming to kill all of human beings. Yep. And that makes total sense.
Okay.
Classic Crichton backfire. Crichton backfire. All right, what else you got for us, Nick?
That's what I'm looking for.
Do you need glasses? Like, I feel like I hear you squinting.
Yeah, I am squinting. I mean, I'm sitting on a bed in a random hotel looking at my little bitty Mac computer screen at two or three pages of notes and trying to read.
Nick's giving you a lot of material to make some memes for this week, so please, for our Photoshop aficionados out there, make some good stuff.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay.
We can do the email, and then I'll get into the book segment.
All right. We got a couple calls. I want to save one call for the book segment because I think it was directly related to that. So I will save one of those calls for what happens in the book, stays in the book. But first up, we got a call from Kyle Baker. Here we go.
Hey, Jay, Jack, and Nick. This is Kyle Baker from Wilmington, Delaware, calling about last night's Game of Thrones episode. On my HBO Now app, it was Game of Thrones 69. Make your game now. Actually, I believe it was called Knights of the Realm was the actual name. It should have been called The Calm Before the Storm. Really good episode, but not a whole lot of actual action. It just seemed like there was a lot of just tension and waiting, and that was kind of what they were trying to get with the episode, was just the sense of waiting for something to happen. On that front, it really seemed like, you know, they wanted to have a nice, almost pleasant episode with a lot of characters. I think that they're trying to prepare the viewers that not all the characters are going to survive the coming battle with White Walkers. In my opinion, using something that I believe Nick has said previously, I will not be listening to the episode for a little while, as I've only started listening to the Game of Thrones podcast since the season premiere last week. So I am just listening to the Battle of the Bastards currently. So it'll take a little while, but mentioning how a character cannot die until their motivation is complete, and with the scenes and the validation that Brienne has from Jaime, and finally becoming a knight of the realm, her motivations are now over. There's no one left to protect. There's nothing left to have. She has no more motivations. I don't believe that she'll survive the coming battle. Other than that, who knows? I don't believe it's going to be one character. I think there's going to be multiple characters that do die. My crackpot theory is that eventually Game of Thrones is not going to be Cersei and the Lannisters versus Daenerys, but it will be Jon versus Daenerys. They will end up on opposite sides. That's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking with it. One last comment is, I am not sure if it is the writing or if it is the acting of particular characters, but one of the things that is bugging me is how the characters of Sansa and Daenerys are oscillating back and forth between a good character that you like and enjoy and you want to root for, and frankly, just self-entitled bees. And I don't know which it is, but last week was a bad Sansa episode. This week Sansa was good Sansa. Last week was a pretty good Daenerys episode, but this week Daenerys, frankly, was kind of entitled and me, and I didn't like her. And like I said, I don't know if it's just I think they're trying to go for subtlety and complex characters, and I don't know if it's the writing that's poor or if the range of the actresses just can't quite nail subtlety and they just keep oscillating back and forth. But that's something that...
Well, I don't know if you paid Kyle ahead of time to kind of echo similar thoughts.
Well, no, I thought that was... I was going to tell Nick, you're on the show. You don't have to call in, Nick.
Exactly. I love this call. I thought, I was like, wow, he gets it. He gets it.
What did you think about his crackpot theory, though? I thought that was interesting.
It didn't cross my mind about Brienne dying, but I actually think it's actually a very good theory that she, now that she's a knight, she's gotten her wish. But she also, there's a lot of people out there hoping that she finds love, too. So yep. I'm not sure if this will be – it wouldn't surprise me if she did die. But, yeah, I mean, I think for sure, I think it's going to be Jorah, Grey Worm, and Theon for sure, I think.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, none of us should be shocked when anybody dies. I feel like no one should be shocked if anyone dies. Like, I'm prepared for anyone to die next week.
Heck, you could even have Dany die, you know, and then she'd be, you know, another cog in the Night's King's – thing. Like, you're like, oh my God, what happens?
Yeah.
He also said that Danny and Jon Snow would be on opposite sides at the end. Do you think what would do that? I think if Danny were to kill Sam.
Well, I was saying, like, let's say Danny is on a dragon and she falls off, or the dragon dies and she somehow gets taken and she becomes an undead or, you know, White Walker. You could see that happening, and then him being resurrected from the Lord of Light and possibly being the prince that's promised, he's fulfilling his destiny to end it all. And it would make sense for her to...
It is your destiny.
Destiny. Yeah. Join me is the only way.
It's my density.
Something, density. Something dark side. Something, something complete.
But yeah, I mean, I even liked it. He's picking up on the same thing I'm picking up about the writing or the acting with Danny and with Sansa, not really knowing, are they just being against each other? What's up with this petty uncertainty and paranoia? It just doesn't come across well on screen.
I don't think it's an acting thing. I think it is a writing thing. I think, and we've seen it before, where it's our oft-used term, lazy writing. I think you could say it's a victim of that situation.
It's the same thing as with I forget his name, Littlefinger last season. I'm sure on paper it looked good the way Arya and Sansa were setting it up to trap him so that they could kill him. But on screen, I just felt that came across horrible with them kind of the way it looked on screen of them trying to be against each other in order to lure Littlefinger to try to bait one of the two to get against each other. And I just never felt it came across well. I think that we're kind of suffering from that right now as well.
Well, it's just you're a Littlefinger fanboy, so I feel
I am a Littlefinger fan. He played the best.
You were going to be bent out of shape no matter how that one went down.
Now, going back to Littlefinger, did he ever put anything in Sansa's head, either in the books or about Danny that not to trust her?
Well, I think it's fair.
In the books, they're still in the Eyrie with Littlefinger, okay. Sansa.
So, was there any time in the show? I'm just trying to remember was there a time where he said you can't trust her because she doesn't trust her?
Well, I think that's fair to Sansa though. I mean, this is an outsider.
Yeah.
She's been through a lot.
Yes.
She has every reason not to trust people. So I don't think it's out of character for her not to trust them. I'm not on Kyle's side or Nick's side in this. Like I can see where, you know, you can find a complaint, but I feel like it all makes sense.
I'm on Team Sansa.
I'm on Team Sansa as well. That's just my perspective.
Well, Nick's going to have to call twice next week.
Hello, this is Rick and...
and Niall.
I pay in gold dragons, you know, for all the voice messages and emails that agree with me.
We've got several calls for Michael. Two are going to be before what happens in the book, and then the last one is going to happen in what happens in the book. Stays in the book, but let's do the first call here from Michael.
Okay.
Hello, Jay, Jack, and Nick. This is Michael calling from Los Angeles. Second call for this second episode. I just wanted to say that I may be in the minority on this, but I thought that these first two episodes were a bit disappointing looking back. I think that some interesting things happened, some poignant moments happened, but overall, I think when people rewatch this series, they're not going to get excited about these two episodes. And I think it's because they know that the rest of the series is going to be bloody and there's going to be death, and a lot of beloved characters are going to die. I get that. But this second episode, I feel like, could have really been better. I thought the first one could have been better, and now, having seen both of them, I just wish that they had coalesced elements of these two episodes into one and then given us a little bit more, you know, like send out a scouting party with John and a few others and go find the White Walkers and, you know, spy on them, or, you know, I mean, like, show us something else, show like characters battling, you know, and, you know, preparing for the war ahead a little bit more. I just, like, there weren't enough memorable moments for me. You know, like, Brienne of Tarth getting knighted and Tormund being hilarious. John tells Dany. To me, those are the highlights of this episode. And I think it's going to go down as one of the forgettable ones. And people are going to talk about the other episodes of this season. Hello, J-Jack and Nick. It is Michael once more from Los Angeles. I may not make it for this week for episode 2, but it's fine. It's not super time sensitive. I actually have a feeling you're going to say this. One of you will say this, probably Nick. But I just thought that there was a phrase that was really interesting. I believe it was Sansa that said it to Daenerys when they had their little meeting. A little girls club tea time, she said, men do, you know, stupid things for love or stupid things for women or something like that. Stupid things for women, I believe, was the phrase, which is sort of an underlying theme that you could point to throughout Game of Thrones. Whether it's Rob choosing to wed someone that isn't a Walder Frey descendant or, Rhaegar being with the Stark woman. I cannot think of her name. Anyways, there's a lot of examples of this. You know, there's Littlefinger doing crazy things. There's Lysa Arryn doing crazy. I mean, that's a woman. But anyway, there's just a lot of examples of men doing stupid things for women, and it comes back to haunt them or bite them. And I thought that was a very, like, interesting phrase, like a very meaningful phrase in that moment. Anyways, thank you guys for doing your podcast. I love it. Keep it up.
All right. Michael, again, Nick, you can just, you I feel like you have enough.
After all three of these calls, I think we need to change the title of the show from Game of Thrones Podcast with Nick and the two other guys.
I like it. I have a lot of faith in our listeners now. That, they listen to us.
You didn't have it before?
Listen. Oh no! I mean that my faith in them has been restored. That they like the Nick picks. You know, they're bitter. They're bitter like me.
A lot of mopey faces today in Game of Thrones, right? The Game of Thrones world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I thought that as well. That the first episodes probably could have benefited from combining them into one, and then just have something a bit more than what we got, because they are a bit forgettable in some ways. And like I said, like a lot of the characters have been reduced to fourth or fifth wheels. I mean, you haven't hardly seen any of Davos or Varys or some of these other characters that are usually there for advice, and they're just going with the more main characters. And that's what I'm saying, is it worries me about they're getting just like, oh, let's just get to the meat and potatoes of these episodes and get through to the end of the series. And it's like, well, we want to see all these characters, not just Dany and Jon.
So it's safe to say you're not on board with people saying this is the greatest episode in Game of Thrones history.
I don't think anyone has said that.
I've seen it. I've absolutely seen it. It's on our message. It's on our Facebook page.
No, it was a good episode, especially coming from the first one. The first one
I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it everywhere. I'm like going, I thought it was a good episode, but I would never not said the greatest of all time.
No, it's not the greatest of all time, no. It's probably like a 7 out of 10. There's definitely had some really good scenes. I mean, the Brienne getting knighted was a great scene. I really enjoyed that one. But like I said, it had some little bits of it that felt like filler. And some of the lines were not as cheesy as they were in the first episode, but it does what it's supposed to do.
Well, also guest on this episode is Jack's chair.
and fan.
How do you know that wasn't my body?
I do see the critique there that, you know, especially if next week's episode is the only episode we get of kind of the White Walkers, I feel like there could have been more there. I know we got like a quick flashback on how the Night King became the Night King, but I feel like there was, if that's it, I feel like there was more to get, but maybe that's just me.
So maybe have a longer first episode where you have like maybe an hour and 20 minutes where you combine the first two episodes.
Yeah, or you
and,
know,
and then have the second and third episode being the battle of the White Walkers.
Or have we already had enough tussles with the White Walkers to have one last big one? I mean, is that fine? I mean, I don't know.
I'm cool with it. Well, you only have six episodes left. I mean, four episodes left. So it is what it is at this point.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for your calls. You can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Call anytime, Nick.
And they are different numbers, by the way. So unless Nick has a bunch of burner phones that we don't know about.
As you see, Nick has been traveling.
It's true.
I don't want to say that's a coincidence or not, but coincidence? I think not.
Anyway, Nick, it is now time for the last segment of the episode. What happens in the book stays in the book. We also have a phone call, also from Michael, from Los Angeles, which is where you were. But
how convenient.
So we have one more from Michael after this?
Yeah, well, it's a book-related question, so I wanted to throw it in here. Just
so you're acting like you're shocked, Nick.
I'm shocked.
Oh, we got another call? Okay.
anyway, so if you have not read the books, or you might find the books to be spoilery in some way, even though the show has been way more spoilery for book readers, possibly, than the book has for show watchers at this point, still, you can skip ahead to the end of the episode or just stop listening if you want to. But Nick, take it away.
Yeah. Most of these things now are just things that are within the books that are brought up in hindsight. But, you know, it's nothing spoilery, though. So the first one is a small one with Tormund when he's telling how he got his name. It's true to the book in that he drank from a giant's bosoms, and that's how he's always claimed that he's so big and so strong. But in the books, he actually cut open the female giant's stomach and emerged from her to make her think that she was pregnant with him. And so a lot of people called him Giant's Babe, not Giant's Bane. Huh. And it's just a little difference in things that happen. And also, it's not.
I didn't need that image in my head, so I'm glad they didn't go with it. But thanks for putting that there, Nick.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not confirmed because a lot of times in the books, it's more hearsay. So people
got it, like legend kind of
reason why they call him that's because of this. It's a legend, yes, because he's never actually said it. It's more like, you know, some other wildling or somebody from Night's Watch is saying, "Oh, he's called that because of this," and they're like, "Oh, that's interesting."
Nick, when you were reading that part in the book, did you go, "Oh, come on, she wouldn't feel him cutting her open and climbing in"? You didn't say. Did you say that, Nick?
Of course I did.
All right, then. That makes me feel better.
But they are supposed to be huge and, you know, not that sharp. So.
Okay.
And then the second one I wanted to get into was just the song, The Genie of Old Stones, because there actually is a neat little, even with the show title, with being A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which references the prequel novellas. It's the same as with Genie of Old Stones. So they had to add some lyrics to it for the show. And Florence and the Machine is the one who does the cover at the end, which is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny of Old Stones was kind of like a hippie. And the only way we can picture it is that she was a free spirit who wore flowers in her hair. And she claimed that she was a descendant of the first men. So the first men that arrived on Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening around 239 after Aegon's conquest, so roughly 70 years before the current time we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And she seduced, or not seduced, but Duncan Targaryen, who was from the Duncan Egg Tales. Aegon Targaryen, who they called Egg, his firstborn, he named Duncan Targaryen after Sir Duncan the Tall, who was his personal bodyguard, you know, this entire, all the stories, you know, he's part of the King's Guard. So he named his first son after his friend this all this time. Well, Duncan Targaryen fell in love with Jenny of Old Stones, but because she wasn't a Targaryen, he had to renounce his throne or his claim to the throne. So he was always known from that point on as the Prince of Dragonflies, because he's a hippie now, along with Jenny of Old Stones. So that's just one of those weird things. So you kind of wonder if there's a mirroring there of people renouncing for love.
Mm-hmm.
with the song. And then what ended up happening later on in 259, so roughly 20 years later, both King Aegon V, Prince Duncan, and Sir Duncan the Tall all die in Summerhall. It's a tragedy of Summerhall They were burned alive. No one really knows why they burned alive, other than Aegon V, the king, was obsessed with bringing dragons back to the Targaryen name. And so they don't know if maybe they were heating the eggs too much, or were they experimenting with wildfire? You don't know. But within the song, the lyrics are saying Ginny dances with her ghost kings. So, like, she clearly survived. And it's just things like that. Just like the hippie, possibly witch. You don't know if she was a hippie or a witch or some kind of sorceress. You know, did she kill all these men? But either way, she's dancing with all of her kings. And that's just something neat to go along with the song, if you were anyone out there was curious about the song.
Oh, very nice.
Cool.
It was very popular, especially the Florence and Machine cover at the end. So, very nice. Well, let's do this call here. Again, from Michael, a.k.a. Nick. some bonus content. But we'll let Nick take it away here.
Hi, Jay, Jack, and other guy. Just kidding. Actually, Nick, you're the best part of your podcast, so good on you. I had a couple of non-episode-related questions I figured I would ask a few days removed from the premiere episode. So my question for you, Nick, I don't know if you've ever addressed this before, but I'm curious to know, are there any characters that you read in the books that are vastly different or notably different from their on-screen counterparts? You know, maybe because you pictured them differently when you read the books, or maybe because the way that they're described is just so different than how they're portrayed on the show. I'd be curious to know that. And then sort of a subset of that question is, are there any characters that, aside from, like, Lady Catelyn's ghost thing, I forget what it
is. Stoneheart.
Besides her, are there any characters that are not in the book that you wish, or sorry, that in the book, not in the show, that you'd like to see, that you wish were represented on screen, that you'd want to see, that sort of thing? And then last question here, have you ever read Wheel of Time?
Someone just recommended this to me.
And I asked him if he watches, you know, Game of Thrones, and he said no. He said he hated it. He said he preferred Wheel of Time. So just curious if you've ever heard about that, ever been interested in that. It's a book by Robert Jordan. Yeah. Thank you for doing the podcast.
All right. So, Nick, since this is your fan, not you.
I have not read that book. Someone did recommend it to me recently, as well as another one, something Wind or Wind of something. I have to email that person and ask them about it. But yeah, I'll look into it. I agree. We were all robbed of Lady Stoneheart, which is a really great character so far, which was the zombie-vied version of Catelyn Stark. Cold Hands, which ends up being, you know, the Brandon Stark, who was guarding them up beyond the wall. Like, that is something that at first we weren't sure if we're going to get in the show, and we did. Mm-hmm. There's John Connington, that is another story with another supposed Targaryen that's over in Essos, and they're trying to meet up with Dany, and then they land in Westeros to start another front to claim the Iron Throne. Like, there's a lot of sub stories that are in the books that have never seen the light of day. There's another story of a Dorne prince that goes to try to woo Dany, and he tries to steal a dragon. That's just a really interesting story. There is Strong. What's his name? There's Grey Worm, and then there's another one. It's like Strong. I can't remember. It's like, there's the B. It's been almost a decade now, shockingly, since I've read these books, and I just kind of have to remember from time to time, and you put me on the spot. But, I mean, there's lots of interesting things that happen and little stories that have been just completely taken out. The same as with Lord of the Rings. Like, there's just not enough time to cover them all.
Yeah.
And the thing about shows is that you might have a mental image of that person, but as soon as you see them on a show, that's all you can think about from that point on is, oh, okay, That's what they look like. And you start to forget what your mental image of that person was.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Other than saying you're the best part of the show. So.
Yeah, well, you know, at least someone likes me, you know.
Oh, just the Nick, other guy. Everybody likes you. You are the best part of the show. Without you, this show would not be possible. Much like our patrons. Without you, this show would not be possible.
It is true.
All right. Well, that will do it. Thank you, Nick, for being here this week. You know, on the road, going to your new home in Colorado. So next week, you don't know for sure if you're going to be here or not. So we may have a sub in for you next week.
This week was the one I was really worried about, so if I could make it or not. I think next week I'm supposed to be getting internet at my new place on Sunday. Okay. So hopefully I can watch the episode and
fingers crossed, and then, because I feel like this next week would be one to really be sad to not have you be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Again, all the people calling in claiming to be Nick fans. There's no one in Colorado in that area that we could.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bring Nick in for a night just to watch the. He promises not to nitpick as the show is going on. If that's what you're worried about.
Hi, my last name is Bolton. I would love to have Nick at my house. We're gonna have sausages and.
Oh man! Well,
I'm a vegetarian. I'll pass.
Hopefully everything works out with the internet, and we'll be a full crew next week for the Battle of Winterfell. Good Lord. Winterfell.
Battle of Winterfell.
I haven't slept much. But anyway, give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
And send an email to GameOfThronesPodcast@gmail.com. Ooh, got a frog in my throat. All right, that will do it for this week's episode. We'll see you all next time. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.